We have a lovely short reading today. It's John 14, verse 6. We've actually put on verse 7 as well. And this reading starts, "I am the way, the truth, the life."
John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him."
Got quite a short summary for you. And we've got a little interval part of the way through. And Sally's going to come up and read a reflection. But you know, as I find my notes, it's a real, real privilege to be asked to come alongside you this morning and relook at one of the most important yet quite basic passages in Scripture, which starts, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6 is only 15 words long, yet in Scripture really presents the complete statement. We will be focusing today on just the words, the way. This could be a series. This could be spread over 4 weeks, believe you me. There's so much, so many layers and so many biblical links. And I apologise in advance if I'm leaving out some of your favourites. But let's look briefly at the three, the way, the truth, the life. The way. A lot of us think of that as a journey, a pathway. We'll be seeing some pathways, some man-made pathways, and some natural pathways as well. But it can be the method, can't it? And Jesus is the method. He is the way and the only way to the Father. The truth. Jesus is the only message. He is the truth. He is God and representing God's word. The life, Jesus is the meaning, the life everlasting in heaven. So we have the method, the message, and the meaning. And yes, for all people who believe, there is everlasting life through Jesus. With this opening all-important statement, Jesus actually summarizes his purpose in coming to earth. I'll repeat that. Jesus summarizes his purpose in coming to earth. So let us take a look at these words, the way. Or as some scripture states, the gate. There's going to be 4 biblical links, all short ones here. But the first one is John 10, verse 7. Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." The shepherd, in Jesus' case, the good shepherd, functioned as a gate, letting the sheep in and protecting them. Jesus is the gate to God's salvation for us. He offers access to protection, safety, and peace. As God's Son, Christ is our protector and the only way. Just to clarify the importance of what is written, Jesus is the way because he is both God and man. Many biblical scholars, the Bible, other writers refer to Jesus as the Son of God, but there are writers who refer to Jesus as man-God or God-man. We are given such a wonderful opportunity, aren't we? Actually, it's a God-given gift that by believing in God, in Jesus Christ, who died for us, better still, let me quote John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, by all of us in here and out there in the community, in the wider world, uniting our lives with Jesus, we are united with God. One leads through us to the other, because they are, and we will be, one. So here's a big question. Before we come to our reflection, how do we on earth unite our lives with Jesus? So do we, friends? Do we, do things our own way? Maybe do a few good things for others? Make ourselves feel a bit better? Feel a bit more worthy? Maybe we'll feel happy in ourselves? In this modern 21st century Western world, do we put our own wealth and me comfort before our spiritual godly wealth and our sisters and brothers? Actually, do we feel comfortable, more comfortable, living in our once weekly church service bubble? If you like, talking the talk, but not walking the walk. I talk the talk, didn't I? And I don't think I walk the walk in Jesus' footsteps as much as I should do. In each and every situation, we must ask WWJD. What's WWJD? And it's not wowee, just delightful, when you've bought something from the local bakery. It's what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? We are made in God's image. So as believers, we are disciples. We need to try and copy Jesus. Wow, what a tough task. But don't beat yourself up if you miss an opportunity by knowing that you could have done something in his name but didn't. Because God will present you other opportunities. As followers of the way, despite our failings, time and time again, let us act more like Jesus with the two most important commandments. Just the two most important ones, uppermost in our minds. To summarise, to love and worship only one God, and to love one another. It's interesting, the way isn't just a New Testament word. The way comes up in the Old Testament in Proverbs 4, verses 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. For the Hebrews, this statement embodied the very truth of God. Following wisdom's way leads to eternal life. Following those 10 commandments, in particular the two we just mentioned, it's not just merely going to heaven when you die, because we haven't done much wrong on earth. It's into the kingdom of God. There's a little extra to ponder in this reading, not much more. It's a shorter summary than normal. But I'm going to ask Sally, so we can just break the reading up, to read a reflection from the little red book. The reflection's called You Are. So thank you very much, Sally. I'll leave it on the lectern there.
This is from a Celtic oral tradition from the first millennium. You are the place of all things calm. You are the place to hide from harm. You are the light that shines in dark. You are the heart's eternal spark. You are the door that's open wide. You are the guest who waits inside. You are the stranger at the door. You are the calling of the poor. You are my Lord and with me still. You are my love, keep me from ill. You are the life, the truth, the way. You are my Saviour this very day. Amen.
You are our Saviour. Jesus gives his 11 disciples in Galilee the Great Commission after he rose from the dead. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, which many believe refers to all believers, all disciples, it states the following: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Do you know, it's tempting to hold back sometimes when our own doubt of low self-worth, unworthiness, busyness gets in the way of what would Jesus do. But let us admit it, we are all broken people. We have and often continue to be sinners in thought, mind, and or action. We wrongly prioritize, don't we? I certainly do. I wish I didn't. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it is easy being a good Christian. And let's face it, I don't like to give the devil any credence, but he does roam about, sometimes just sowing that seed of doubt in our minds. But, I've written "but" down three times here, but the price or debt of our sin has been paid in full with the death of Jesus Christ on a cross. And God, if we genuinely repent, continues to forgive us our foolish ways, day after day, week after week. Sometimes it can seem, and I think there's a mention in the Bible that one of the gates is quite narrow. It can seem the gate through Jesus to God appears to be quite narrow. And there's a part of us that thinks, do I need to be doing anything else to be able to go to heaven? Will I be forgiven for what I thought or what I've done? Actually, is there room to get through that gate? Maybe I won't try and go through that gate, just in case I get declined. But that gate is wide enough to accept the whole world. So we believers do have a duty, don't we? To serve our God, to act like Jesus when we are able to. 1 Corinthians in chapters 12, verses 4 and 8. We are told that we all have spiritual gifts, but these gifts, although quite different, are distributed by the same Holy Spirit. To one person, a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge, another, a gift of healing, another, a gift of interpreting tongues, another, a gift of prayer, another, a gift of taking somebody out for a coffee and just coming alongside them, another, a gift of being at a hospital bed of a sick 8-year-old, and the list would go on. By serving, we through Jesus are giving people an opportunity to be shown the way. I'm coming to a conclusion now, but do you know, it would be a sin in itself to keep the information, this wonderful information, to ourselves. How can we do that? Now, I was going to bring my little ladder with me and do a terrible impersonation, but we're not expected to stand on the street corner or stand on a soapbox and go, hear ye, God loves you. Come to Jesus, come to the Baptist church, learn more about God's love for you. You'll be forgiven your sins if you repent, and you too can enter the kingdom of God. Now, people would look at us and go, what's Cherry doing up on a soapbox talking like that? We could put all our names on that, couldn't we? We don't have to do that. God doesn't say anything in the Bible about us having to do that. But let us just show love to a neighbour, preferably a stranger. And this act, if you like, this act of kindness, it's just this little bit of act of kindness, providing you're doing it in the name of Jesus, not on the name of Jeremy or Philip or Katie or whoever, provides the fertile soil for God to do the rest. It's so simple, isn't it? And sometimes that act of kindness, especially if somebody's not expecting it, will get them thinking, why is Marjorie spending this time with me? It's so lovely. Oh, she mentioned what she was doing over the weekend. Oh, she's going down to the Downton Baptist Church. Do you know, I reckon there's something in this church thing, because I've seen a distinctive change in Marjorie ever since she's become what she calls a Christian. Maybe I'm going to go along and have a look at this. And that's God's work, isn't it? Developing that seed that you have planted through your act of kindness. The sermon finishes with a short reminder of that all-important reading in Mark 12, verse 28 to 34. Jesus instructs the scribe, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Upon seeing the scribe's understanding, Jesus adds, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Isn't this a truly wonderful thought? I'm going to try and stay on the right path because I want to see my mum up in heaven. And although I haven't seen heaven, what it looks like, the bits I read, and there is a book actually about somebody who believed he saw heaven, and the bits I'm told, it is a wonderful, wonderful place.